Well, I've been doing started a series last Sunday called All I Want for Christmas. And last Sunday we looked at All I Want for Christmas is Hope. Today we're looking at All I Want for Christmas is Peace. Now, I want to begin with a Christmas quiz this morning. So I want you to answer some questions. It's going to be multiple choice. And I'm going to ask you some questions about the Christmas story, and I'm going to give you a couple choices that you can have, and let's see how you do on this quiz. Joseph was born in what town? A, Jerusalem. B, Bethlehem. C, Nazareth. B, Bedford, Virginia. All right, what do you say? Where was Joseph born? Now, you're going to have to speak up so I can hear you, because I'm not sure I'll be able to hear you unless you, and you might not be brave enough to speak, but so loud. Okay, that's where most of us would answer. We don't know. And I'll tell you why. It could be C, because the scripture doesn't say that Joseph was born anywhere. It said that when the census in Luke 2 was taken, that Joseph, who lived in Nazareth, went up to Bethlehem to register. But see, so I tricked you. It didn't say where he was born, but it said where he was living. And he was living in Nazareth at the time. Even though, now, the reason James might be right on that, some scholars debate that. They think Joseph was living in Bethlehem at the time of the decree was made, because it said he went up from Galilee. And they said going up, you would have to be living in Bethlehem, living in Bethlehem to even do that. So anyway, that goes way beyond what I wanted to do this morning. Let's have question number two. Who told Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem? Was it A, Caesar, B, Herod, C, Mary's mom, or D, no one? I hear Caesar being answered. Well, no one told them to go. However, it could be that Caesar, because he had decreed it all be enrolled, that when Joseph decided, that's where he had to go. So that's, if you said Caesar, you're probably right. Let's go to number three. What did the innkeeper tell Mary and Joseph? A, there is no room in the inn. B, I have a stable you can use. C, none of the above. D, both of the above. I hear you saying it was both. That there's no end in the room. No room in the end. And I have a stable you can use. Well, actually, the Bible doesn't say either one of those. Now, I'll show you what I'm talking about. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. It didn't say the innkeeper said that. It didn't say that he had a stable. Now, if you watch some of our Christmas plays, you will find that they have an innkeeper. And you will find that they sent him to a stable. But that's not really recorded in Scripture. All right, how are we doing? Here's number four. How did Joseph and Mary get to Bethlehem? A, a colt. B, Mary rode a donkey and Joseph walked. C, a wagon. D, who knows? You're right. Who knows? Now, when we see the Christmas cards and we watch Christmas plays, we see Mary riding a donkey. And we see Joseph walking. However, there is nothing in Scripture that says that Mary rode a donkey. However, we think she was 9 months pregnant. She was probably needed to ride something. But anyway, it doesn't say. Here, the wise men met Jesus in a manger, C, a castle, B, a castle, C, a stable, D, a house. Where did the wise men come when Jesus was born? What? D? In a house? You agree with that? If we look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, it says, when the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. See, now it's understanding that actually the wise men did not show up at the day Jesus was born. They showed up 2 years later. And that's when King Herod, when they heard that the wise men had come looking for the Christ child, and he said, well, look, you go and find a child. When did you first hear about this child being born? And the wise men said, well, we've been looking for him for 2 years. We heard about it 2 years ago. And if you understand, you remember when Herod got upset because the wise men went away and didn't tell him that they found the Christ child, and he went to Ramoth and began to kill all babies 2 years and younger. He took that 2 year span because he wanted to make sure he got the child that was born maybe 2 years early. Anyway, all right, here we go. How many angels spoke to the shepherd? Three? A multitude? A whole host? Or one? What am I hearing? Well, let me tell you what the answer is. I'm not sure exactly what you said. It was one. Now, it says in Luke 10, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them and to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you great news of great joy to all people. Then it says later, a whole host joined him. But it says, an angel spoke to them. Let me go back to the wise men. How many wise men came to see the Christ child? Was it one? Was it three? Or was it five? Or who knows? Who knows is the answer. And the reason is, we see on our Christmas cards and plays, we see three wise men. Do you know why? Huh? The gifts. They say there were wise men that came and they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So if there's three gifts, there must have been three kings. Well, that's not necessarily true, but the Scripture doesn't say how many came. Here's the last one. What song did the angels sing? A, joy to the world. B, glory to the newborn king. C, glory to God in the highest. Or D, none of the above? Huh? I'm not sure. C, am I hearing you say glory to God in the highest? D, that none of the above? And that would be absolutely right. None of the above. And the reason is, they didn't sing. Because if we look at the 13th verse of the second chapter, it says this, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. So they came and they praised God. We sing the songs. We see, didn't I trick you all? Now, I want to tell you why I did this. It's not easy to keep the facts straight about the Christmas story. Through tradition and through time and the way we look at it and the way we think about it, that's the way we understand. But not only do we get confused about the Christmas story, it's also not easy to get straight about our faith, about our feelings, if they line up with what Christmas is supposed to bring. We get confused about what Christmas is also. Does Christmas really bring hope? Does Christmas really bring peace or joy and forgiveness? Well, a lot of times we're confused about that when we worship. You know, last week we focused on the hope that only comes from trusting in Jesus Christ at Christmas. Our hope is not in what we hope Jesus will do for us. Our hope is not in what we want Jesus to do. Our hope needs to be in Jesus himself, who may give and bring our hope in a different way than we wanted or expected. We trust Jesus to do what is best. We trust that even though it may not be what we expect or what we desire, our hope is in what Jesus is able to do for us. Trusting in Jesus is our hope. Now, this morning, our attention is on peace. Let me ask you a personal question. Are you at peace about your health, finances, your relationships with one another, your job? Are you at peace with your faith, your relationship with God? According to most studies, this is a season of stress and distress, of sadness, not gladness. We find that Christmas, as we are supposed to celebrate it and it be an exciting and wonderful and joyous time, that we find that many, many people, instead of experiencing it that way, that we find that they're under a lot of pain and distress. A group called the Mental Health of America did a survey to find out what anxieties people have this time of year. And they listed three of the most, the top things that people would identify. One of them showed that failing finances was one of the big stresses that people face this time of year, especially when they want to get out and buy gifts and share that with others. The second one is missing a loved one, not having that one to be with them to celebrate Christmas. And a third one is just having too much to do, too many places to go, too much to get ready. Those were the three most stressful times. Now, maybe you can add your own struggle to that list. Peace. What does that mean for you this morning? The word peace in the New Testament means to join together. In other words, it has the understanding to set at one again, as if something is broken, and it's to put it back together. Peace is to be whole. And it has the idea in the New Testament of gluing something back together, to fix something broken. So 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words about Jesus. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus said, this scripture is about me. I have come to give peace. This is in Isaiah 61. You see, Jesus was saying, Jesus coming at Christmas came to bind up the brokenhearted. That's what Christmas is. It's a time of renewal. It's a time of remaking. It's a time of transformation. You know what? That's the problem we face this morning. We're all broken in some way. Some of us just hide it more than others. Maybe you're hurting this morning, something in your life. Maybe you're hiding it. Friends, that's why Jesus came at Christmas. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted, to fix that which was broken. Jesus wants us to have peace. Jesus wants you to have peace this morning. Now, I want to share in the brief time I've got left is to share with you four ways that Jesus brings peace to our lives. First of all, Jesus wants us to have peace with God. Now, that's the vertical dimension of our relationship. In other words, in order to have a relationship with God, the vertical relationship in peace is that God wants us to have a relationship with Him that is intimate and personal and fulfilling. Did you know that there is a war going on between God and humanity? People may not realize that they are at war with God. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not received Him as the gift that God gave us at Christmas, received Him as the gift of our salvation, then God considers us at war with Him because we are in sin, with a part which God has no part of. What about you? Are you at war with God? Maybe not even knowing it? Or are you at peace with God? You have that relationship with Him. You have that understanding with Him that you are His child. The state of our relationship with God apart from Christ is war. While God loves us and cherishes us and thinks we're the most wonderful thing of creation, He is filled with indignation because of our sinfulness. If we're living in a way that we don't live according to His teachings or His word or His commandments, then we are at war with Him. In Romans 1:18, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and the wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. You see, here's the problem that scripture in Romans is talking about. That we can be living in wickedness. We can be living at war with God and calling it okay. We can say, I'm fine with the way I'm living. I'm fine with what I'm doing. But it's not okay with God. And that's a lie. And that's a problem. In Romans 5:1, though, here's the reason for Christmas. Here's what Jesus came to resolve, this problem with the war with God. Romans 5 gives us the good news. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, you and I can now be at peace with God. God the Father poured out His wrath, His fury, His indignation on His Son who died in our place and who became our substitute for death and punishment. In Colossians 1:20, it says that Jesus reconciled himself to all things, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You see, we don't deserve the peace that the Prince of Peace came to the world to give. In fact, what we deserve is death. What we deserve is eternal punishment. But because of God's great love, he provided a way for us to be set at one again with the God of the universe, to be at peace, to heal the brokenness. Friends, do you have peace with God today? Or do you feel that brokenness? Well, the first peace that Jesus brings is the peace with God. The second peace is not with God, but it's the peace of God. This takes place internally. In order to have the peace of God internally, we must experience the peace with God vertically. The upward dimension must be taken care of before the inner dimension of peace can permeate our lives. Shortly before Jesus died, he declared in John in chapter 14, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace," Jesus said, "I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." You see, this inner peace is a gift from Jesus. And it comes to us as a key element of the fruit of the Spirit. Once we have peace with God, then we can have peace, the peace of God in us. We will experience this peace in proportion to the room that we give the Holy Spirit to live in us, the room that we let the Holy Spirit take up in our heart, the room that we let the Holy Spirit control our lives. That is the portion of the amount of peace that we will have. It says, "This is the peace that surpasses all understanding," in Philippians 4. Do you have peace inside? Do you have the peace of Christmas that Christ came to give? Or are you hurting inside? God knows when you're hurting. God not only knows, but he understands what causes the hurt. And he wants to help. And he can help. He's the only one who can help. He sent Christ at Christmas because he loves those who are hurting in the world and wants to give them peace and heal the brokenness. Now here's the third peace that Christ brings. First, we have peace with God, and then we have the peace of God, and then we can have the peace with others. That's peace horizontally. In other words, when we're at peace with God and we have the internal peace of God, then we can be at peace with one another. The followers of Jesus finds that Jesus is their peace. When we follow Jesus and we have the peace with God and the peace of God, then we want to have that peace with others. But now they are told that they must not only have peace with God, of God, but they must make peace. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." Now, I find it interesting that Jesus didn't tell us to be peacekeepers, but instead peacemakers. In other words, this could be translated as peace workers. It takes effort to bring conflict to an end. We could have conflict with our family members, with our co-workers, with our church family, with our community. We could have conflict with people, but we are told to be peacemakers, which means there's an effort that we have to make if we are not at peace with one another. When we work at resolving conflict, we are doing what God does. God wants to bring the conflict, the war between us, to an end so that we can be at peace with God and with have the peace of God and to be at peace with one another. We're called to make peace whenever there's some brokenness that we have with others. In Romans 14, 19, it lays out our responsibility. It says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Is there anyone you need to make things right with? Anyone you need to be at one with? Maybe a conflict or bitterness has gone down deep in your life. And Jesus says, it's time to let it go. It's time to give peace to others. And here's the last peace that Jesus brings that I want to share with you this morning. It's not only peace with others, it's peace for others. That's the proclamation of peace at Christmas. That's what the gospel is. In other words, the only way for people to have peace with God vertically and to have peace inside, the peace of God, and to have peace with others is for people like us, people who know that peace, people who know Jesus Christ, people who follow Him, to tell them. To tell them about God, the love of God, about Christmas, the gift of Christmas, about the gospel of peace, and all of those. Peter declares in Acts 10:36, he says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. We need the peace with God, which Jesus Christ brings and makes possible. When we set our heart right with God, we can have the peace of God. And when we have that, we will want to have peace with one another. And we will want to tell others about that peace. I've got one last quiz question to ask you this morning. Do you want peace in your heart this Christmas? Here's your four choices. A, I'm not sure. B, I sure want to learn more about peace. C, yes, I'm ready to receive the Prince of Peace into my life, who is the gift of the Christ child that came at Christmas. And D, I'm going to do it today. I want to give my heart to Jesus, and I want the peace that God wants me to have right now. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we come before you this morning, thanking you for your gift of life. Thanking you for the peace that can come in that gift through Jesus Christ. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that they have made the choice on the questions asked about do they want peace for Christmas, and they say, yes, Lord, I want that peace and I want it now. May you, Father, as they pray in their life, as they say, Lord Jesus, forgive me where I have tried to be my own God and go my own way. I want to give that up this morning. And now I want to come to Jesus Christ and I want to receive His gift. And I want to receive it in my heart and life. I don't know what all that's going to mean right now, but I give my all to Him. And I want to have the peace that He offers and gives. And so I surrender my life to Him. I thank you as I ask this gift into my heart and life through Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord. I praise you. And I love you. As I pray this in Jesus' name, Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm going to invite you to join me as we stand.
What we want to do, go
tell it on the mountain, over the valleys, in the cities, wherever we go. Jesus Christ came to be the Prince of Peace. And as that Prince of Peace, if you will receive Him into your heart and life, He will be your peace. Now may you go, share that peace with others, and God goes with you. Amen.